While you're turning there, I want to make this announcement. Normally, on Sunday mornings, we take an offering because it's part of worship. But we understand on Resurrection morning, this may not be your church. You may be coming to church for the first time, or it's your once a year time or twice a year time to come to church. And the last thing that we want to do is to put into your head that, we had you come on in, we packed you in, and then we took your money. We don't want to take your money. We're not going to take your money. We're going to trust God to provide for this church. There'll be no offering today, so you can go home saying, hey, they didn't take my money. What was that all about? Today is what it's all about, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It's all about Him given to us, and that's why we've gathered together today. We're excited about that. Before we get into the Word, I want to just give you by way of introduction, if only the events of this day in history 2,000 years ago would be reported by today's media, I wonder how they would spin it. Can you imagine all of the scuttle and all of the talk and all the rumors for the last 3.5 years about who this Jesus is, and He's shaking up the world and what's happening, and then the crucifixion on Friday and now the resurrection, the tomb found empty on Sunday morning. I wonder how the media would have handled that today. Well, you know what? There was then ABC, I guess, or CNN or whoever, kind of walking around, at least the spirit of it. There were those that were trying to explain away what happened. When the announcement was made and when all the people ran to see about the tomb and it's empty, they began to put their thoughts forward about what could have happened. Well, friends, listen, for a long time, Jesus had been telling them that on the third day, He'd be risen from the dead. He told them that up front. But we're considering all this week long, and it started last Sunday with Palm Sunday. Why Jesus? Why is Jesus Christ so important to us? And why is Jesus the central figure where there's an estimated 2.6 billion people today gathering together around the world to worship Jesus Christ and to consider the great, great resurrection story? But we want to ask the question, why Jesus personally? What makes Jesus Christ the most famous individual of all history? And how is it, and how can you explain that wherever Jesus Christ and His message goes to this very hour, lives are changed for the better, cultures are changed, people are treated right, people are loved. Listen, women have rights and they're honored. Think about wherever the gospel has gone and obeyed. Women are exalted and lifted up to a status, as the Bible says, listen, hey ladies, listen, that men and women are equal in the sight of God. We need to remember that in the cultures that we're seeing in the world around us. God loves each and every one of us today, and that's what we're celebrating, and that comes through the resurrection of Christ. And so we're very, very glad about that. And I'm also reminded, as I put on my watch this morning, today's the 23rd, it's March 23rd, and did you realize that the date today, the year that you and I are living in, how did we come about that? It's by the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't you find that interesting? You know, when you sign a check and you date it, why do you put that date on there? How is it? Why is it? And what happened in history that changed how man would keep records all around the world today? Our very calendars are speaking every day to the fact that Christ Jesus has come. John chapter 20, verse 1, and we only read one of the four biblical accounts out of the Gospels. John 20, verse 1 says, now on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John speaking about himself, by the way. It's kind of cool, though, that he leaves his name out, but he inserts how much Jesus loved him. I like that. And said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So note where she's thinking. She's thinking he's been stolen, not resurrected. Peter, therefore, went out of the tomb, or went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple, that's John again, talking about himself, outran Peter and came to the tomb first, and he stooped down and looking inside saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Mark that in your Bible. He did not go in. Verse 6, then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. Watch what happens. Verse 7, and the handkerchief or the head wrap that had been there around his head, not lying with the other linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in, and also he saw and he believed. John speaking of himself again. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. There's a lot to digest here this morning in our study, but we want you to consider a few things. There's a very specific thing that I want you to keep in mind. It's an attitude, if you'll allow me to put it that way, that I want you to see. We read it here just a second ago. That as both of the disciples ran to the tomb, Peter and John running together, John outran Peter. Now, we know from church history, we don't know this from the Bible, we know this from church history handed down throughout the ages, that Peter was a very large guy. He was a big, big, burly fisherman. We don't know much about John regarding his physical attributes. Maybe he was just a better runner. Maybe he was smaller than Peter. We don't know. Frankly, we don't care. The Bible says he got there first. John beat Peter to the tomb. But he, what did he do? He got to the door of the tomb and he looked inside. I just talked to Amir a moment ago on the phone in Israel, in Jerusalem. I said, Amir, is the tomb still empty? He said, Jack, it's still empty. How do you know? Because I looked inside. John stands at the threshold and he looks inside, and then you can just imagine, here comes Peter. Big Peter, he starts coming, he's catching up, and he doesn't stop. He just tumbles, I don't know, robe, sandals, head over heels. He just goes flying right inside the tomb, and he looks around, and he sees the wrappings, the shroud that Jesus had been wrapped with there. By the way, the word in the Greek means, though Jesus was not inside, the wrappings held the shape of a body, which is pretty freaky weird. But the cloth, the head wrapping, was set off to the side by itself. We want to just consider this. Why is that important to us? Well, the first thing that we want you to see, and hold that thought, but the first thing I want you to see this morning is this. That why we consider Jesus Christ on Resurrection Sunday morning is because the promise is Jesus Christ. God, in the Bible, from Old Testament to New, gave us a promise. And let me tell you, friend, your promises that have been given to you, and maybe promises you have given, have been dashed or broken. Sometimes they were broken intentionally. Sometimes they were broken by no fault of your own. Things happened. You couldn't fulfill it. But the glorious news about this morning, resurrection morning, is that God keeps His promises. And His promise was Jesus Christ to all of mankind. That's why we rejoice this morning. God promised us Jesus. The Bible tells us, by the way, in Psalm 145:19, that He will fulfill the desire of those who trust Him. He will hear their cry and save them. You see, but Jack, listen, who will save us? Save us from what? And how will He go about doing it? Well, I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ being the promise, He was the promised sacrifice. Jesus Christ, in the Bible, His death on the cross was not an accident. Jesus was not murdered. The Bible says that Jesus willfully laid down His life. The Bible says that Jesus offered up Himself. The Scriptures foretold that that would happen. He was the promised sacrifice. And so I want to put this before you. The fact is, and we see this in the resurrection tomb on Sunday morning, that Jesus Christ had finished the job. He had been preaching for 3.5 years that He was the Savior of the world. You say, well, so what? That was His idea. Oh, no, 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 no. When you go back to the thousands of years of Old Testament scriptures, they foretold that Jesus Christ would come and be the sacrifice. He fulfilled scripture. Jesus, in fact, on this resurrection morning, 2,000 years ago, finished the job. the job of being the sacrifice for all of our sins, the hope of mankind. The Bible tells us that as Peter went in to look around, there the head wrapping was laying off by itself, folded neatly. Don't ever underestimate one word of the Bible. In Romans chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, the Lord promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, concerning His Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed or the DNA of David, according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. What does that mean? Whatever the Bible said about Jesus, whatever Jesus said about Himself, didn't matter. It didn't matter until resurrection morning. Everything that Jesus had said, everything that the Old Testament prophets had foretold, come Sunday morning, this day, you had to sit up and take notice. The veil, the blinders of your eyes would have to be removed. All the claims of Christ are justified this morning. He said radical things. He said that if a man dies believing in Him, yet shall he live. What an awesome word that is. That word means that if you trust Christ, you, believing in Him, though your body may die right here, right now, immediately you are with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That's radical. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. If you eat of me, you'll never be hungry again, ever. And He said, listen, if you drink of me, the water that I give you, you'll never be thirsty again. Those are radical words. Jesus said He is the resurrection and the life. Those are radical words. You either believe them this morning or you don't believe them. But it's all powerful. It's unchanging. And when He rose again from the dead on this morning in history, you got to take note of those words. You will choose to believe them or not. Your choosing to believe them or not doesn't change the fact that Jesus was the promised sacrifice for mankind. Also this, the hope. Jesus was the promised hope of mankind. Jesus Christ is mankind's only hope. That's why, listen, that's why we're Christians this morning. We weren't born Christians. You can't be born a Christian. See, wait a minute. I was born in America. That makes you an American. Doesn't make you a Christian. Well, wait a minute. I have an American flag in my house. I have a passport. I have a driver's license. Doesn't that make me a Christian? No. You can't be born into being a Christian. Jesus said you must be born again, born a second time to become a Christian. So why are we Christians this morning? Because we've come together and made this church our home? No. Is it because we have some card-carrying membership identification? No. We have rallied around this one declaration, and it's today, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead to save us. We are Christians because we adhere to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And any one of us, any one of you can become a Christian today. And when I say that, and I'll be saying that through this morning, it doesn't mean you join this church. It doesn't mean you sign up. It doesn't mean that you somehow do something. No, no, no. You believe in Him. You trust in Him. Why? Because He's the promised hope. Did God ever promise you hope? Yes, He did. In the wonderful, awesome person of Jesus. And I want to just ask you this. Where is your hope, by the way, this morning? You came here today. You said, Jack, I didn't want to come. But my family promised me breakfast after dinner, after service. So is that your hope? Yeah, I got up early. I'm going to have breakfast. That's your hope? That's not a hope. No, after service, I'm going to go out and go to the liquor store and get a lotto card. Or what do you do with those things? Scratch and sniff or whatever they are? That's your hope? That's your hope? Where's your hope? Is it in Jesus? Well, I don't know. Hey, listen, where's your hope? A lot of people found out in the last couple of weeks that Baron Stearns is not where their hope ought to be. Morgan Stanley, is that your hope? Jim Beam, is that your hope? Where is your hope? Because listen, every human being places their hope in someone or something. Every one of us. We're built that way. But you and I were built by God to put our hope in Christ. He is the perfect fit for your soul. You guys, the other day I had some keys made. And there's a man standing there with me, two guys, me and the other guy, and there's one key maker guy. And we both had our keys. And you know what happened? Two different keys, but we both picked the same. You know, you can pick replacement keys now. You can have the Angels, you can have I don't know who, but I picked the Chargers. I was born in San Diego, so I picked the Chargers. Well, the guy next to me, he picked the Chargers key. I had Charger keys. He had Charger keys. He's getting duplicates made. And the guy's talking, hey, nice weather, isn't it? Isn't it great? The key maker. Don't talk to me about the weather. Make the key. And so he's making the key. And he hands us the bag, and we go off on our way. We both got five duplicates made with San Diego Charger keys. I get home, ain't the right key. He gave me the guy's key, and I got the guy's key in my bag, and now somebody's walking around this town with my keys. But I got his keys. The problem is, it's the wrong key. It will not open the door. Is your hope in something else, or do you have the key? Jesus is the key. He's the one that unlocks the door into heaven. You may have a key, but is it the right key? You may have religion, but is it the right key? You may have whatever you have. I guarantee you, if it's not a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have the wrong key. But it's nice. I understand that. It's got a lightning bolt on it for the Chargers. I understand that too. I got one, but it won't open the door. Jesus is the key that opens the door. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again, caused us to be born a second time unto a living hope. Listen, this is how it happens. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I like saying that today. I like saying it any day. But today it's a little bit sweeter. Jesus Christ busted the grave. Jesus Christ broke death, having been resurrected from the dead. Here's the next verse. To an inheritance, a retirement, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, with no fear of how the stock market will do. I added that part. Or no matter how far the value of your home dips. God says, my son rose again from the dead to give you an awesome eternal retirement that can never lose its value. Isaiah 7:14, Jesus is the promised hope. Therefore, this is written over 700 years before Jesus was even born. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, will give you a miracle. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call his name Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God lives with us, or God among us. Matthew 1:21, the fulfillment of that. Again, over 700 years before the prophet announced it, it happens in Matthew's gospel. And she brought forth a son. Notice it wasn't her son. A son. Why? Because you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God gave his son, born through the Virgin Mary, that we might have eternal life. Why? Because he will forgive his people, not only the Jewish people, but all the world of their sins. And then again, 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled, setting your hope fully upon the grace of God, which is to be given to you when Jesus Christ comes again. See, listen, I'll let you in on a secret. Our hope is not only based upon what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. We have super double hope. We have extra double hope. And that is, Jesus Christ is coming back again. You say, I don't believe that. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't believe he's coming back, then you certainly don't believe he came the first time. No, I believe he came the first time. I don't think he's coming back. Dude, you got to have it. You got to pick it. You can't have it your way. You got to pick something here. The same Bible who said he's coming the first time is the same Bible saying that he's going to come again. Well, I think maybe it's in our minds. He'll come in our minds. Let me tell you, did he come the first time in someone's mind? Was Mary walking around saying, what is this? Is this in my mind? I'm looking about 9 months pregnant. Is this in my mind? The angel said, no, Mary, that holy thing within you is the Son of God. He came and He'll come again. And that's our hope. Also, we look to Him as our Redeemer. The promise is Jesus Christ. He's our Redeemer. Redemption. I love that. Jesus Christ will be all that you'll ever need if you'll just let Him in today. This Resurrection Sunday announces that we can be free. Many of us are free, but are you free? The Bible says, Paul wrote to the Galatian believers there in the area of Turkey today. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So what does that mean? Jesus went to the cross on Friday, died there in your place and mine. But when He rose again from the dead, He removed everything that the law laid upon us. Jesus fulfilled it. He redeemed us. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him, Jesus Christ, listen, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace. Man, you can have your sins forgiven. This day has been set aside. Every year we come to this moment. And the world takes notice. I was getting emails today. I was getting text messages today. Phone calls today from various places of the world. Of them saying, and they all said the same thing. He is risen. Pastor Jeff is down there. He's down there right now on the beach in Cabo. Having a Bible study to those there in Baja. Can you imagine on the sand, bring your blanket, sit down, sunrise service. And he texts me right before they started. He says, he's risen indeed from the beach in Cabo. Well, hey, we can say the same thing. He's risen indeed. But is he risen indeed in your heart? If that's true, then he's your Redeemer. You might say, well, what does this mean to me personally? And I forgot. I'll do it at second and third service, but I forgot this morning. In my desk, in my chair, if I turn to the left, right here is a very, very old little booklet. And some of you are going to go, I know that. And most of you are going to say, what? And it is a the blue chip or green stamp redemption. Anybody remember those? Where you go shopping back in the ancient times and you would lick the redemption stamps, the blue chip. Is it blue chip or green stamps? Either one. You'd lick those things and stick them in the book. And when you fill up the book enough, then you'd go to the catalog and see what you could get. And then you would go down. I remember we used to drive up to the one on Beach Boulevard in Orange County there and go to the redemption, the blue chip redemption store. And I'd walk in there. Well, I was about this tall back then. And I'd walk in there and I'd lay that thing down and pick something. And they would hand it to you. And I thought, what a cool thing. I walk in with this thing. This book didn't cost me anything. I don't know who paid for it. I was too young to understand. Well, my mom and dad paid for it. I'm probably getting this Tonka truck that cost $300 for all I know. But I got it at the redemption store. How do you get eternal life? At the redemption Christ. Jack, how do I go to heaven? One way only. And He did it all. And that's by going to Him and understanding on this resurrection morning, He is my Redeemer. Our Redeemer lives. Aren't you glad, Christians? Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad He's not in a box somewhere? I mean, what kind of a Redeemer is like, well, there He lies. Yeah, you can clap and give God a hand for that. Can you imagine how pathetic kingdoms and places and cultures and in darkness where they go up there, they stand there. What are we doing, Daddy? Well, that's our God. But didn't you guys just take that log, that branch out of the forest last week and carve it into a totem pole and put faces on it? And that's our God now? Bow down, son, bow down. What is that? Just think, some little kid could come along with matches and burn your God down. Where is your God? And can He redeem? Does He listen to you when you cry out to Him? How do you know? Does He care? And what about life? What about death? Jesus is the only one. The Bible is the only book that gives you absolute assurance of eternal life. And the Bible says you're to know that now. That's very comforting. He's our Redeemer. Second point this morning, why Jesus Christ on this resurrection morning? It's because Jesus is the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you today to become religious. I'm asking you to consider what the Bible says. You get religious, you get goofy. Jesus is the answer. He was the answer. Listen, he was the answer they needed back then. We'll look at it for a moment in the past tense. When Jesus came preaching, he not only preached, he not only said it, he did it. Raised people from the dead, cleansed lepers, healed people, opened the eyes of the blind, caused the lame to walk. Read the Bible. You cannot read the Bible without falling in love with Jesus. I don't care who you are, unless you're really, really, something really wrong with you. Just read about Jesus' life from the Bible. You would conclude, as obviously many of them back then did as well, is that we need him. This is what we need. Well, the scripture says in Matthew 20, 28, Jesus spoke and he said, just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ said, I've come to serve you. They heard that back then. Jesus made the announcement, I have come to serve you, and this is how. Ultimately, I'm going to give my life as a ransom to set you free. That terminology is powerful. Ransom. Jesus used the word ransom. The word, you already know what the word means. It means to buy someone out of captivity. It means to pay a debt or to pay for a request being made that's holding a victim hostage, as it were, bound. Jesus said, I'll pay it. Do you hear that? Is that not precious? You and I, if you realize it or not, we have been bound by Satan in sin. You say, I don't think so. That's part of the binding. It's so subtle. Satan uses sin to come in and wrap us up. He doesn't drag chains in and throw them down, make all kinds of noise, knock over the lamp and bite the dog and say, I'm Satan, I'm going to wrap you up in chains and you'll be ruined for the rest of your life. He doesn't do that. He wraps you in chains of sin ever the ransom to be paid. I want to get Jack out of jail. I want to get Karen out of jail. I want to get Sue out of jail. I want to get Mike out of jail. The ransom that Jesus gave was his blood at the cross. Jesus Christ gave exactly what was needed. And that's an amazing thing to keep in mind. Someone wrote that Satan uses lust to tie people up. Then he silences them with fear so they cannot cry out. And finally, he drowns them in apathy. That's the scariest thing of all. Somebody being bound up, held in a life that is controlled by things rather than they controlling their lives or having God control their lives. They're wrapped up by things. Their car owns them. Their house owns them. Their job owns them. Everything owns them. And how powerful is that than to drown them in apathy, which means once he bounds you up, you don't care if you're bound or not. Hey, you look pretty bound to me. Oh, well, you won't care. Jesus ransoms us from that. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. This is a great verse. Listen carefully. Verses 5 and 6. Everybody pay close attention to this. This is how unique Jesus is. For there is one God and one go-between, one mediator between God and mankind. It is the man Christ Jesus who gave himself a ransom for us all. And all God's people said, amen. Amen to that. Also this, the answer is Jesus Christ. And this, that he is the answer you want to have. What's the answer? You've seen this program. I don't even watch this show anymore because I got too intimidated by it. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? I hate that show. Every week I was reminded I am not smarter than a fifth grader. These kids would have the answers. And the adults stand there, Listen, Jesus is the answer, and he's the answer that you're going to want to have someday. And you're going to want to have that answer now, by the way, I might add. Jesus Christ desires to be the answer of your life. John 6:35 says, Jesus announced it, I'm the bread of life. Here's the answer. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 10:16. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Speaking of the children of Israel. I've got more sheep than just the believers in Israel. Them also I must bring with me. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. He was prophesying about his death on Friday and his resurrection on Sunday. Jesus Christ is the answer that you want to have. How do you get to heaven? It's not by being good. It's by going to Him who alone is good. It's by saying to Him, Lord, I can't save myself. This is a tough pill for us in the West to swallow because we have a sense of doing it our own. I understand that. We're Americans after all. I'll do it. I'll take care of it. That's the way we're brought up. Yankee know-how. You ever heard that term? Where did that come? Why do Europeans say that? Well, put some Yankee know-how into that. What? Because we're independent thinkers and we can be a little proud about that. But we can say, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. Frank Sinatra sang it in a song, I'll do it my way. A lot of weird things revealed in songs. Have you noticed that? I'll do it my way. You know, the Rolling Stones just recently were on tour again somewhere in the world. I don't know. And Mick Jagger, have you seen him? And he sings that song. Time is on my side. Yes, it is. Have you seen him? Time ain't on his side. Interesting songs people sing. Bob Dylan sings a song, you got to serve somebody. Remember that song? You got to serve somebody. It might be the devil. It might be the Lord. But you got to serve somebody. There's a message in these things. They may not be, it's like, what? Time is not, look, Mick, look in the mirror, dude, time is not on your side. Frank Sinatra, don't do it your way. It doesn't work. Bob Dylan, yeah, you know what? You got to choose. Listen, I'm telling you right now. Jesus Christ said, come to me, all you. Listen, this is for every one of us. There's nobody exempt from this verse. Come to me, all you who labor. That's what we do. I'll do it myself. And are heavy laden. There's a lot of stuff weighing on you. I will give you rest, said Jesus. Take my yoke on you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You guys, this is the best. And it can be yours. He will be the answer you will want to know. Jesus Christ will be the answer that you will want to know when life has run its course for you and I. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives believing in me shall never die. And then Jesus said, do you believe this? What a great statement. See, Jack, how can that be true? I saw my uncle the other day in the casket. He was dead. My friend, your uncle was not there. His body was there. What good is a car in the parking lot if somebody takes the engine? What good is a turtle shell without the turtle in it? I mean, what are you going to do with that? You can talk to it. You can move it around. It's not going to go anywhere. The body is like that. Jesus said, when someone dies believing in him, the body dies. But the real true you, the part right now that's thinking, the part of you right now, that's the emotional side of you and the logic side of you. Listen, the brain is a tool that allows that to happen. The spirit of the man, the spirit of the woman lives forever. The Bible says, a person will live forever in heaven or hell based upon what they choose. Wow. Jesus said, if a person dies believing in him, he'll never see death. I like that. What kind of a nut would reject that?
No, I don't want that.
Why?
Hmm.
Think about it. It's amazing to me. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 11, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Not maybe, not it could happen to you. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, that is, in your heart, you believe the doctrine of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible. And with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Good news. And then third and final point this morning, it's this. Why Jesus on this Resurrection Sunday morning? Because the future is Jesus Christ. And I think personally, this is the most exciting thing for me. Because look, you and I are alive right now. And we're grateful for the past. We have absolute hope because of the past. But you guys, for those of you who are trusting Christ this morning, and are you? Do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Somebody might say, somebody told me recently, I know you read that verse, but I don't think anybody can know that. Well, where'd you get that idea from? The Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. That's what the Bible says. I mean, frankly, you should not care what I think, and I should not care what you think. What does the Bible say? The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. The Bible knows that you can be in the family of God. The Bible declares that you can know that you are one of his sheep, one of his little lambs. The Bible says, Jesus said it, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Jesus said, I know my sheep and I'm known by my sheep. The Bible says that we as believers, regarding the Spirit of God in our lives, that we are brothers or sisters by the Spirit of God. You can know that. Well, Jesus is the future for us. And frankly, it's kind of interesting. He's always been the future. So how do you put that together? Well, first of all, when he came 2,000 years ago, he was the future back then. Was he not walking, fulfilling Bible prophecy? The future was standing right in front of them. Yeah, but Jackie died on the cross. The Bible said that would happen. The future was hanging right in front of them. Yeah, but he was beaten really bad. In fact, eyewitnesses like Josephus and other historians talk about those who had been flogged by the Roman cat of nine tails at the Praetorium post where they would tie the victim up and beat them, that their bones would be exposed, that you could see their lungs inhaling and exhaling from the crowd. You could watch their organs functioning before they died from the beating. Wasn't he beaten like that? Yes, he was beaten like that. Fulfilling Bible prophecy. Didn't they put sticks in his beard and put the Roman sandal with cleats on his forehead, twist the string and pull chunks of his face out? Yes, Isaiah 50 announces that that would happen to the Messiah. Prophecy was standing in front of them. The future was standing right there. And the future is here today with you. You'll make a decision today. What will you do about your future? Because the very one that holds the future is here. The Bible says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. God is always now. The Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Please say amen to that. Amen. Our Savior doesn't change. He doesn't wake up on Monday saying, man, it was a rough weekend, and I don't love them anymore. He doesn't change. He's the future right now. Jesus Christ is right now our future. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, righteousness, that's right standing with God, shall be imparted to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus from the dead, who has delivered up because of our offenses. He was raised because of our justification. Church, that word to impart or to impute. Listen to this. In the Greek, we get our word, by the way, log. To jot down a log, to have a record, or to transfer an account. The word means to make a declaration based upon the data. It means to convey based upon a contract, to number, to reason, to conclude, to do the math. It means that all is now cleared. The accounting has been zeroed out. When Jesus went to the cross and then rose again from the dead, every bit of evil, nasty thoughts, bad actions, sin in your life and mine, Jesus, if you'll just trust Him today, converts all that nastiness to a big fat zero, paid for, canceled. You say, Jack, that is too good to be true. The word gospel is the word good news. Is this not good news? It's the best news. The Bible says, God invites you in Scripture. He says, come now. I like that when He says, come now. You ever talk to your kid? Come here. I can't talk to my kids like that. They're too big. They'll just say, forget you. But I can talk to our dogs like that. Sophie, that's a dog of ours. Not a kid of ours. Sophie, come here. God says in Isaiah 1:18, come here. What? Let us reason together, you and I. The word reason is, state your best argument. Listen, skeptic in the house, non-believer. Person who came for that breakfast after service. God says to you, come here. Give me your best argument. Let's reason together. Let's argue. That's what the word reason is, to argue. Let's argue. Let it go. And my friend, talk to God. Let Him have it. Blah, 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 blah. Let it go. When He's done, or I should say when you're done, then He says, okay, now I'm going to argue with you. Little bit of a tip, God wins every argument He's ever been in. I encourage you to lose that battle. It's the best loss you'll ever have. Do the math, He's saying. One writer puts it this way, 2,000 years ago on Resurrection Sunday morning, God showed the world a lonely, vacant cross and a silent, empty tomb. This is God's receipt to man saying, your debt has been paid. I love that. The Bible says, John 6:37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means refuse or cast out. And so we end with this thought. He will be the future for us, for tomorrow, forever. And I'm going to ask you this, as we conclude this message, will He be your future? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I will give them. You can't buy it. You can't steal it. He says, I will give them eternal life. They will never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. You say, Jack, what do I do? What do I do to have eternal life? Church, please hear this. Friends, listen. And I wish I could hear all of you independently, or at least hear your mind. What do you need to do to be forgiven and to go to heaven and to live with Him forever? Because that's what Resurrection Sunday morning is all about. What do you have to do? And I'm wondering what's in your mind right now. Well, be good, right? No. I mean, I want you to be good, but no, that's not the answer. Do you want me to write a check? I have a lot of money. I can write a check. No. Do you want me to go feed the homeless? Well, yes, but that's not it. Never say another bowling word in the house again. No. Never lose my temper again. That's not how you get to heaven. Listen. I'll give you three things. You can't even separate them one from another. Number one is this. You need to see yourself as you really are. My friends, I can't reveal. There's something going on right now, and it's kind of cool. I hope it's cool. It's cool nonetheless. God's word does not return void. But for the last couple of weeks, probably a woman that we've all given up on, but God has not. Her name's Britney Spears. And I got an email from the pastor of a church in Los Angeles, and Britney Spears' father has been taking her to church. And she's in church right now. I think even at this hour or at the next service, she will be at this church. She's been going. You say, well, that's, who cares? That's ridiculous. I mean, that woman messed up so many young girls, and she's messed up her own kids, and she's messed up this way, and she's messed up that way. And I understand that. Everything she's done has been public. Look, the stuff that I've done in my life, I thank God Almighty is not public. But what if it would go public, like Britney's life? What about your life made public? Did you see the billboard on this 91 freeway? Resurrection service at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. That's public. Can you imagine the starts short-circuiting out, it goes black and white, and then it has your name. Bill Johnson. And it starts scrolling the list of your sins that you've committed in your life. Everybody slows down. Oh, wow. Oh. Do I know a Bill Johnson? Listen, we laugh, but you know what? That's us. And you know what? Our prayer, it's not because she's Brittany, but wouldn't it be awesome if Brittany gave her heart to the Lord on this resurrection day? She'll be in church this morning. Think about it. Would that not be awesome? You say, well, I don't know about that. Can you? What? The power of her coming out and saying, I was wrong. I was wrong, and Jesus has set me free, and for the rest of my life, I'm going to live my life for Him. And everybody, and mainly the Christians, will go, oh, yeah. And you know, we're kind of cynical about that. People say, I'm a Christian now. Yeah, right. Everybody becomes a Christian when they're in trouble. But wait a minute. Isn't our resurrected Lord exactly for us who are in trouble? So the first thing you need to see this morning is to realize, I'm in trouble. Well, nobody knows it. Nobody needs to. God does. Are you going home to 91 today after service? Could you imagine seeing your name pop up there? God knows. You need to realize that. God knows. That alone ought to freak you out. Number two, recognize that you need Him. Do you realize that you just got up early this morning and you came here and you sat here all this time? And yeah, it's almost over here. We're almost done. You can get out of here soon. But you would waste all your time if you leave this place today not believing in Him. What'd you come for? What are you doing? He's saying to you, please recognize that you need me. I was on the cross for you. And when I rose again from the dead, I did that for you. He didn't do it for Himself. Did it for you. And then here it is. Okay, Jack, I'm ready. Tell me what it is. I'll do anything. Well, here it is. It's a big thing. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God that you must work, that you believe on Him whom God has sent. Amen. Can you not do that? It means this, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. Because I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. I'm the sinner. I'm coming to you. Forgive me. He rose again from the dead, the Bible says, for your justification. Justification means, listen, it's a theological term, just if I'd never sinned. So, Jack, I'd really like to believe that, but could you convince my wife of that? That's not necessary. Could you convince my husband of that? Not necessary. God in heaven looks down at your report card with all these F's on it and applies the blood of Christ and you get A pluses. So how can I didn't even do anything to earn those. That's the whole point. But you have to come to Him and ask Him, Lord, will you change my card? Will you make it right? Let's pray right now. You have that opportunity to do that now. I'm going to ask people to sit still. Please, nobody moving around. But my friend, this morning, if this message has made sense to you, and today you're saying, I don't want to be religious anymore, or maybe today you're saying, I don't want to be an atheist anymore. It's no fun. Makes no sense. The tomb is empty in Jerusalem. Jesus hung on the cross for the world to see. And I'm convicted of my sins right now. I'm afraid that God knows. This morning you need to say, Jesus, now listen, Jesus, I believe you died, that you rose again from the dead, and I want to name you today as my Savior and as my Lord. And while we get ready to sing this song, I want you to remain in an attitude of prayer, everybody. Christians, be praying. Nobody moves around. Nobody makes any distractions. But if that's your heart today, will you raise your hand right where you're at? And you're saying, that's me. I want to publicly today confess Jesus Christ. He hung on the cross for me. I can stand for Him. Will you do that today? In fact, right where you're at, will you stand? If you're choosing Jesus, will you stand and make that testimony? Think about it. For you, He went to the cross. Don't be afraid. We're going to sing this song right now. And I want you to be thinking about that. And I'm going to ask you, as God speaks to you now, to give you the opportunity to publicly proclaim Christ. As this song begins, if you're ready to make that decision, you come forward right up here, right front, right now at these steps. You just wait right here. But today's your day. Jesus said that if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. Let's sing the song, and will you do that right now? Will you just come and stand right here? Now's your moment.